Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Elaine Donnelly, one of the people that I admire most in the national security environment. She has been a courageous, forceful, tireless, and extraordinarily articulate advocate for our military, especially in a part of the fight that the military is in to maintain the integrity and the readiness and the capability of the United States Armed Forces. Elaine has been a leader as the founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness and in so many other ways in helping the rest of us understand the feminist agenda and the real danger that it can represent to the fighting trim and morale of our military. Elaine, it's always a delight to have you with us. Welcome. There's a lot to talk about.
Frank, I always appreciate your wonderful introduction. And yes, there is a lot to talk about because our military is in peril. Morale is down. We've seen articles talking about how people are considering should they join, should they leave. It's not looking good for the armed forces. It's on the cutting edge of social change, and what we're seeing is not good.
Well, social experimentation, you might even say, at the hands of the Obama administration, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But just for starters, let's talk about something. I don't know if you've coined the term, but it's an apt one, being called the Dempsey Rule. What does that refer to, and what are its implications?
In 2012, the United States Marine Corps, having been given orders to find a way to incorporate women in direct ground combat units, such as the infantry, started research. The research has been proceeding, and nothing coming out of this research shows that women can be interchangeable with men in the combat arms, the units that attack the enemy, different than being in harm's way. Well, in 2013, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, said, well, if a standard is too high and women can't do it, then we'll question, does it really have to be that high? And I'm quoting the general. That means that the standard will have to be changed to accommodate women so that it will be validated. You'll see this word validated in the future at a level that is equal but lower than before. So the Dempsey Rule, and yes, we did start talking about this Dempsey Rule, means if the standard is too high for women, then it's probably too high.
Well, talk about the practical implications of that. What might those changes mean for the condition and warfighting capabilities of our military?
Well, about a month ago, 60 Minutes did a program showing the infantry officer course, and it was the first time it was shown on national TV. And the people in charge there, a general and a major in charge of the course, said, look, this is tough because it's the right thing to do for our Marines. They have to lead men in battle, and they have to be prepared for everything. And the first day test there is so tough. A lot of men wash out, and every one of the 29 women who have attempted the infantry officer course, they did not make it through. Most, in fact, only four made it past the first day. So should it be changed so that they can make it through? Well, the feminist faction says yes. They're looking at the infantry course and saying, well, that's nothing more than an initiation rite. And they're trying to argue that it's not needed. This is the process. Again, the Dempsey Rule would not be implemented overnight. This is a gradual process. Tough standards could be eliminated without notice and probably will. What you end up with is an infantry leadership force that is less prepared to lead men into battle. And you also find that women would get the blame, and that's not fair to them because it's the policymakers, including General Dempsey, who should be held accountable.
Yeah, more to the point, we may lose. The mission may not be something that can be accomplished. I want to read something, Elaine. It's not a surprise to you, I know, but I was struck by it. The Washington Times reported on a study that was recently produced by the British military, and they're talking about the unalterable reality that it is a problem to try to have women perform in combat. And as you say, that's different from just being exposed to dangerous situations that a lot of women have been, but to be in the so-called ground close combat. This is a quote from the study, quote, "The nature of conflict is immutable. Ground close combat will remain an intense, visceral, and unavoidably physical activity involving violent death, injury, all-pervading concussive noise, horror, fear, blood, and high levels of emotion. Combat exposes inadequacies and applies manifold stresses that are likely to occur repeatedly throughout combat operations and require high levels of both mental and physical endurance, unquote. That really captures the kind of environment we're talking about, and it's one thing for armchair feminist generals and admirals and the like to be saying, oh, no problem here, we'll just dumb down the standards. But Elaine, this really puts a very fine point on it, that you may just not be able to make do in those circumstances if you don't have the physical and mental strength or endurance to cope.
Well, that's right. And the report, which we have analyzed on our webpage, 3ws.cmrlink.org, you'll see in two sections we analyzed this. It's such an important report. It looked at 21 factors that are important in combat readiness. 11 factors were found to have a negative effect, and of those, three cannot be mitigated. Those were, and this is where it's really important, survivability, lethality, deployability, and morbidity, which means vulnerability to injury or illness. Those three factors, you know there's going to be a negative impact, you cannot do it unless you're going to be held accountable for ruining the military. But what else was interesting was they said they use the term physical elite. We keep hearing, well, there might be a tiny percentage of women who are stronger than the rest and who can do it. Well, the physical elite are subject and very vulnerable to injuries at much higher rates than men. They also found that fatigue was a factor. And if you have fatigue that wears you down, and women are more vulnerable to this, even marksmanship, the ability to hit the enemy close up, is affected. So when you look at the sum total of this, you realize, wait a minute, why are we even doing this? Then the Association of Military Surgeons just came out with an article, and they also said if you go over a certain percentage of body weight, 45%, which is, well, the loads carried into combat are much greater than that on a female frame, this also affects the ability to not only keep up with your colleagues, but to attack the enemy, to do so efficiently. These kinds of factors they're very serious, and they're not just myths and suppositions and wishful thinking that you hear from the other side. If you really look at this objectively, we should not be going where the president wants the military to go.
Elaine, let me just visit with you quickly about speculation that I engaged in a moment ago with Bill Gertz. He says that the commandant of the Marine Corps, General Dunford, is a leading candidate to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a man to replace General Dempsey. I have the feeling that another candidate may be in the running as well, though this is not something that has been bruited about as far as I know, but she would be Michelle Howard, the Vice Chief of Naval Operations. And I wonder, given what you just said about the president's inclinations and policies and practices in terms of putting women into almost all of the top national security jobs, whether this might well be in the offing and whether, in fact, you might think this is a problem.
That would be a huge problem because of what she has said about diversity, echoing what Admiral Mullen said. Diversity is a strategic imperative. This is the philosophy of this administration. If you, again, we get back to the Dempsey rule. In order to have demographic group rights, that's what gender diversity metrics means. It's another name for quotas. In order to get demographic diversity, you have to lower the standards. You have to rationalize it and say this is more fair. It is antithetical to the goal of having a strong, ready military force.
To fight the nation's wars. That's the point of the whole exercise. Elaine, we have to leave it at that. I'm afraid we are hard out of time. Your work at the Center for Military Readiness is indispensable. I hope you'll keep it up and come back to us again very soon. And the rest of you will come back to us again next week. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.